الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters that are sitting at home over the receiver, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in in his masjid, and Sahaba would be seated and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand and address the congregation. فَلَمَّا طَالَ وُقُوفُهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَشَعَرَ أَتَعْبَ. The ulama write that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand for a very long period of time, and he would feel some exhaustion, then he used to recline on a tree trunk that was in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this tree was in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a support, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would place his Mubarak hand and he would recline on this tree trunk. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requires some type of minbar so that he could sit comfortably. He is now growing older. So they made a minbar with his permission. They built a minbar for him. The minbar was built. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into the masjid. He passes by this tree trunk. He ascends the minbar. As he's about to deliver his khutbah, his sermon, the sahaba explained that this tree trunk, something that does not have any life in it, it is not human. It is a tree. This tree actually began to scream and shriek. يَصْرُخُ صُرَاخًا وَيُحِنُّ حَنِينًا. It began to sob like a little child. Suddenly sahaba, all who were seated, they're hearing this tree trunk is crying like a little baby. That prompted them also to cry. Can you imagine? The tree is crying. Sahaba are crying. Rasulullah looks at this tree. The entire masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is literally vibrating. Nabi Kareem descends. He goes to the tree. فَضَمَّهُ. He embraces this tree trunk. وَوَضَعَ يَدَهُ الشَّرِيفَةِ. He places his Mubarak hand on this tree trunk. He asks the tree trunk, what is the matter? And this tree trunk speaks the word in Arabic, جِذْعٌ. He says, Ya Rasulullah, that you used to recline on me, your Mubarak hand used to be pressed on me. Now that this minbar is built, you went past by me. The minbar wasn't far away, but this tree trunk could feel that bu'd, the distance now. It missed the proximity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fact that Rasulullah would recline on it. Ulama have written that Rasulullah sallam had to pacify this tree. Like how a little baby is crying, it is sobbing, and you pacify the child. And first it is a very loud cry, and then it begins to sob, and then it goes softer and softer. And then Rasulullah sallam gives this tree an option. If you wish, you can become a tree in paradise in Jannat. And you can bear fruits in Jannat, and the people of Jannat will eat from you. Or if you wish, you can go back into the orchard and the garden you came from, and you will bear fruit again, and the people will eat from you. This tree trunk opted to be a tree in Jannah. This was the love this tree trunk had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hasan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great wali, he says, imagine, this is the love a tree trunk has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much of shauq and muhabbat you and I should be having for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These occasions of Rabi'ul Awwal and the customary talks that take place in masajid, my respected brothers and elders, it's not a once-off thing. Once a year we just remember and remind ourselves of Rasulullah sallam. That is great zulam, injustice from our side. We have assembled here tonight to remind ourselves that we should be remembering our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single day of our life, having full iman in him and the fullness of love and muhabbat for him, and that great effort from our side to make our life like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise it is one talk and we will hear some aspects of seerah and it is all over. And you wait for the next Rabiul Awwal to come. That is not the shan of a believer. That is not the shan of an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not recite durood upon Rasulullah just once a while. Every single day a believer should be reciting durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a very lengthy hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala. Ubay bin Ka'ab is known as the qari of this ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when 2/3 of the night would go by, then he would say, Ya ayyuhan nas, uzkurullah. Ya ayyuhan nas, uzkurullah. O people, remember Allah. Remember Allah. Ja'ati rajifa, tatba'uha radifa. He says that the trumpet will be blown, the first trumpet. And nafqa al-ula, as we say. Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, in one hadith, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's got the trumpet in his mouth, waiting for the command of Allah to say, blow. Rasulullah had one mention, kifa an'am. He said, how can I enjoy my life as you and I enjoy our life when Israfil has already placed the trumpet in his mouth, waiting to blow it, waiting to sound it. So the first sound of the trumpet will be blown, then it will be followed by the second one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminding his family, reminding the sahaba, reminding his ummah that qiyamah is a reality. That is the big qiyamah. Ulama have written al-qiyamah al-kubra. On the day of judgment, as we see, the day of judgment, resurrection. So we all have to prepare for it. He said, ja'al. It was as though it has already occurred. It's in Arabic to show that this will definitely take place and we all believe in qiyamah. Then Rasulullah says, جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ بِمَا فِيهِ جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ بِمَا فِيهِ. He says, Maut has come with all its horror, with its sakrat, with its pangs, with its difficulties. Here again, commentators explain that we have seen people amidst us, family, friend, who have left this world, Maut struck them. We carried the janazah, we followed the janazah, we went to the qabr, we read the salatul janazah. So, جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ بِمَا فِيهِ. Maut is a reality. And maut is known as al-qiyamah al-sughra. The smaller qiyamah. All of us will experience maut, the small qiyamah, and the big qiyamah, which is going to be on the day of qiyamah. on the day of judgment. Rasulullah mentioned this twice. Ja'al mawtu bima fi. Mawt has come with all its horrors and difficulties. So why twice? Some ulama explained for emphasis. Others have said no. We have seen people who we have buried ourselves and mawt coming to them. And ja'al mawtu bima fi. Next is our turn. Mawt will also come to us. We will not be spared of death. So this is what Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned to his family, or the people who were there, at that part of the night, last third of the night, directing the attention to Qiyamah, to Maut, prepare. Then Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, this is narration of Tirmidhi Sharif, he says, Ya Rasulullah, Ukthiru Salat, I make a lot of dua. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala would indulge in lengthy dua. He would make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asks a beautiful question. He says, وَكَمْ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِ. From my dua that I make for myself, asking Allah for my to fulfillment of various needs of mine, what portion of the dua of mine can I allot for you? In other words, to send durood upon you. Rasulullah said, be mashik, whatever you wish. So he says, a quarter of my dua that I make for myself, one quarter I will dedicate in only sending durood upon you. Nabi Sam said, that's good. If you increase it, khairul lak, it's better for you. He says, okay, half. Half of my dua I'll make for myself, and half of the dua, the balance, only durood upon you. Nabi Sam said, that is good for you. If you increase it, it's better for you. He says, then two-thirds of my dua, same thing Nabi said, is very good. But if you increase it, it's better. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my whole dua, I will just read and send durood upon you. Nabi Kareem mentioned two things. And this is the benefit of durood sharif. One benefit. Idhan tukfa hammak. Idhan تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَتُغْفَرَ ذَنْبُكْ. He says, if you do this, then all your worries, ulama explained, of dunya and akhirat will be sufficed. Allah will take care of your problems of dunya and your problems and worries and concern of the akhirat. And your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven. What do we understand from this? This is just one blessing of Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif should be on our tongues all the time. We recite the 40 Durood because it is in a kitab form, and these words that are mentioned in the 40 Durood are directly from different Ahadith kitabs. The wordings are from different, from Bukhari Sharif, from Muslim Sharif, from Nasa'i Sharif, from different Hadith kitabs, and the Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah made it easy for us. Otherwise, whatever Durood that we know, we could read. Some of these durud have great virtues. For example, one of the duruds that we recite in the 40 durud that is mentioned, that on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede on our behalf. What a great blessing. So coming back to this point about having love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to have genuine, sincere love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to introspect our lives. Genuinely see. Do I really love my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if I really love my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I would be following every aspect of his life. How often we find, man is claiming that he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepts that yes, we are ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many aspects of ibadah he's got in his life, but when he's faced with an examination, a test, perhaps it is his daughter's nikah or son's nikah. At that time now, he forgets the sunnat of Rasulullah. He forgets the simplicity of the nikahs that were shown to us by Rasulullah himself. The walima that Rasulullah showed to his ummat. The nikah of his own daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then we forget that. Then when we are reminded, then we say, yeah, okay. understand, but now we make feeble excuses. When it comes to a business dealing, and suddenly somebody explains to us, see, the sunnah of Rasulullah is this, and the teachings of Rasulullah is such that we should not deceive any person. Man ghashana falaysa minna. Nabi Kareem from himself is saying that you cannot claim to be my ummati. You've got nothing to do with me. If you cheat the people. So then what happens? Then we forget about the sunnah of Rasulullah. We have selected a few items that appeases us, that we find easy to follow, and we say, I'm following the sunnah of Rasulullah. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, first of all, I address myself. Nobody is perfect. We all are here to learn. Learn with the intention of practicing. This is what the ummah requires. Otherwise, we can talk about the azmat of Rasulullah, the jamal of Rasulullah, the kamal of Rasulullah. People have written booklets on Rasulullah, the seerah. They've written books, essays. They have written in prose form, in poetry form. People have written volumes, literally volumes. There are some kitabs we have in Arabic. Not one volume on the seerah of Rasulullah. 10, 12, 15 volumes. Even more. Thousands of people have written on Rasulullah. One person says so beautifully, مَا مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَقَالَتِهِ. You know, he's written a book or an article in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, but I haven't praised Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my speech or with my writing. In fact, mudihat maqalati bi Muhammada, because Rasulullah's name has been mentioned, that gave beauty to my speech, to my book that I have written. Thousands of volumes have been written. In fact, in today's time, if you go onto the net, and those who know Arabic and you want to search something on the seerah of Rasulullah, even in English also, there are thousands of books. But nobody can claim he has done justice to the seerah of Rasulullah. We can go on and write and write and write. بَلَغَ الْعُلَىٰ بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَىٰ بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ رِسَدْ دُرُوْ شَرِيفُ اللَّهُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had such love for Rasulullah sallam that we cannot even imagine. Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbi has climbed a tree, he's busy plucking some dates, and the news reaches him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world. The moment he hears this, what does he say? Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left this world. Then after him, there's nobody else I would desire to set my eyes upon. Ya Allah, take away my eyesight. Immediately he became blind. This is a different level of muhabbat. Imagine the trees, the stones, the mountains would make salam to Rasulullah. It is mentioned in the books of hadith. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I was traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the narrations, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was in the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, we passed by trees, stones, rocks, mountains. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got some pebbles in his hand, pebbles. From one hand to the other hand, he just placing these pebbles from one hand to the other hand. The Sahaba who were seated there, they could hear these pebbles saying, Subhanallah, 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 making the tasbih of Allah. Nabi Sallam then passed it on to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He says, we could hear the tasbih even when Abu Bakr had these pebbles in his hand. Then Rasul took it and then he gave it to Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said, we could hear the tasbih of the pebbles when it was placed in the hands of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Then Rasulullah took it and gave it to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He says, again, they also, we heard these pebbles making tasbih. Then he said, whenever we took it, we could not hear the tasbih of these pebbles. Even the pebbles understood the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. the trees, the mountains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Uhud. When we go to Madina Sharif, Allah ta'ala take all of us. Then we go to Quba, we go to Uhud for ziyara. And we see that Mount Uhud, and of course we think of the entire incident of Uhud, how it took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at Uhud. And he says, Jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. This Mount Uhud is such a mountain that loves us. Mountain loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we also love this mountain. The lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, there are so many examples showing that love they had for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thawban radiallahu ta'ala, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, we've got such muhabbat for you. We sit in your company. And the kayfiyat and the feelings in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something that they could not describe. The anwarat, the barakat, the nur. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm worried. What's the concern? If I pass away, I do not know my fate in the hereafter. Whether I will get jannat or not. You are guaranteed jannat. What is going to happen? I won't see you anymore then. And even if I get jannat, my maqam, my rank in jannat will be so far away from you. You will be so high. Jannatul Firdaus. Under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps I may not see you there. Rasulullah remains silent. Immediately thereafter the verses comes. The fifth para. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That person who obeys Allah and who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So from this verse, Rasulullah explains to him that if you follow me, then you will be with me in Jannah. Of course, the verse then explains also, you'll be with the martyrs, the honest ones, the truthful ones, and the pious. But this point about being with the Anbiya, alayhimu salatu salam, this gave Thawban radiallahu anhu some type of satisfaction and joy. Anas radiallahu anhu says, one day, one Bedouin comes, and from far he's coming, and he's mumbling, and he's asking something, Ya Muhammad! Sahaba say, lower your voice, don't you know who you're addressing? He was a new Muslim coming from far, from a very remote area. He didn't have the education until Rasulullah taught him the etiquettes, until he learned how he should be addressing Rasulullah sallam. He should not be raising his voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala, when the verses came, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. O believers, do not raise your voice over the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Sahabi, Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala, was an orator. He was known as a khatib. Loud voice, powerful speaker. He remained indoors. He didn't come to the masjid. 2 or 3 days go by. Rasulullah suddenly asked, where is Thabit bin Qais? Go find out what has happened. Is he not well? Sahaba go knocked on the door. He's not speaking, he's whispering. After they insist, Rasulullah is calling. He comes to Rasulullah. What is the matter? He says, this verse came. I'm afraid that my voice will be above yours. Rasulullah tells him, no, don't worry. He's not referring to you. Your voice is naturally loud. You're not doing it out of disrespect. Any cases, Bedouin comes, Ya Muhammad. He asks a few questions. And amongst the questions, brilliant question he asks. One of the questions he asks about making moza on the, masa on the socks, the leather sock. And then one question he asks, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. He asks, Ya Rasulullah, a man loves a group of people, and perhaps he did not see them in this world, but he's got genuine love for them. On the day of Qiyamah, will he be with such people? Will he see such people? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A man will be on the day of Qiyamah and the hereafter with that person who he loved in this world. Anas radiallahu anhu says, after accepting Islam, there was no occasion that gave us more joy than this particular occasion when we heard this response of Rasulullah SAW, that if we loved a person in this world, we would be raised on the day of Qiyamah with that person. We love Rasulullah SAW so much, and there was always a worry, will we be with him? And here Rasul says, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. May Allah also grant us that. If we have genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah give us a tab'i muhabbat, that natural muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on the day of Qiyamah, we could be raised on the day of Qiyamah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We could be in his company. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the Qabristan, he visits the Qabristan one day. As-salamu alaykum, dara qawmi mu'mineen, wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. He makes salam to the people in the Jannatul Baqi. And immediately after that he says, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّا رَآ إِخْوَانَنَا. How I wish that we could have seen our brothers. Sahaba wadi, أَوَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكُمْ. Aren't we your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? He said, no. You are my companions, you are my Sahaba. My brothers are those who will still come in this world after I leave this world. Who is that? Referring to you and I. Our Nabi ﷺ has so much of love for us that he expresses the desire, وَدِدْتُ. I wish that I could see my brothers. Then Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَوَتَّعْرِفُ? Will you recognize them? You haven't seen them in this world, you have seen us, you will recognize us. What about those people who will come? The millions of people with the ummatis of Rasulullah ﷺ. How would you recognize them on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he said, I will be wa ana faratuhum fil hawd. I will be waiting for them at the Hawd al-Kawthar. And I will recognize them by signs on their face and their limbs, which will have some brightness in it. Brightness on their forehead, on their limbs. When they make wudu, and we wash our faces and our limbs, those parts that we washed in wudu will have a special effulgence and nur and brightness on that particular day from which Rasulullah ﷺ will recognize us. And he gives an example. He says, if you have horses, all those horses are black. But amidst them, there is one particular horse, black in color, but the forehead of the horse has a white mark, and the hooves or the feet of these horses have some whiteness in it. Would you be able to identify your horse, which is amidst these horses in your farm? All of them are black, but one particular is outstanding because of this whiteness on his forehead and its feet. Sahaba said, yes. So he says, in the exact same manner, I would recognize my brothers, those ummatis of mine, you and I who are not Sahaba, who came into this world after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because of the athar, the effects of making wudu, Allah Ta'ala will give it brightness of the day of Qiyamah. And therefore, when we make wudu, we should make sure that we make wudu correctly and properly. Nonetheless, coming to this point again, Sahaba could not envisage a life without Rasulullah sallallahu. His own wives, it was an occasion, it was a lengthy incident where Rasul gave them the option to remain in his nikah or to come out of his nikah. Everyone opted to remain in his nikah. They could not envisage a life without our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our husband. Impossible. Bilal radiallahu anhu, famous story that we always mention. When Rasulullah passed away, he could not bear it anymore. He could not become the muazzin anymore. How is he going to call out, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah? The same Bilal every day would go to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, it's time for namaz now. And then Nabi would go. He actually left Madinah Munawwara. He went to Damascus. Until after some time he sees a dream. Rasulullah is asking him, Oh Bilal, what has happened? Why have you gone so far away? Bilal radiallahu then takes the courage. He comes back to Madinah Munawwara. Ulama have written, historians have recorded this in authentic narration, that he says that Bilal radiallahu anhu has, when he comes in, and the first people he sees are the beloved grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan, Hussein radiallahu anhu. And immediately they get so excited. Bilal, please, today you call out the adhan. Can he refuse them? He could not refuse them. And Bilal radiallahu goes on. Time was up for adhan, and he calls out the adhan. And when Bilal radiallahu anhu azan, the voice familiar to the ears of all the people Ulama have written, even the women came out of their homes, reminding them of the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as he came to Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, collapses. This love he had, he could recall the times when Rasulullah says, لَقَدْ أُوذِيتُ فِي اللَّهُ مَا يُوذَ أَحَدْ. I have been troubled in the path of Allah. And nobody has been given such type of taklif. He says, Rasulullah says, I take a qasam in Allah. That 30 days went by, and Bilal and I had no food to eat. Except that amount of dates, so little, that if Bilal had to conceal it under his armpit, it would become concealed. In other words, they had hardly any food to eat. One whole month goes by. Bilal radiallahu anhu could remember those days when he was dragged on the scorching sands of Makkah, and he would say, Ahad, Ahad, until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu buys him and frees him. And Rasulullah makes him his muadzin. And Bilal radiallahu anhu remembers those days when Rasulullah tells him, oh Bilal, I entered Jannah. Ulama say, either it was a dream or during me Mi'raj. What is it, Bilal? I could hear your footsteps just in front of me. This was the love they had for Rasulullah. Parting away from Rasulullah, going away. They could not envisage such a life. Impossible. Mu'az bin Jabal, a young Sahabi. The person who had the most knowledge of halal and haram in this ummah, is the word of Rasulullah, is Mu'az bin Jabal. Young, in his 30s, he passed away. In the books of hadith, it is mentioned, or the books of seerah, that he will be the imam of the ulama on the day of qiyamah. Either imam al-ulama, or amam al-ulama, in front of the ulama. And the day comes when Rasulullah has to dispatch him, Mu'adh. You will go to Yemen to rule over the people, to teach them as a muallim, as a qadi, to judge regarding the matters. And Rasul gives him brilliant advice. And these advices are mentioned in different narrations in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Mu'az is mounted on the animal. And he wishes to jump off. How can he be mounted and Rasulullah is walking, holding the reins of this animal and giving him advices? Rasulullah instructs him, no, you remain on top. Just the two of them, all alone. Who is Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu? Besides what I had mentioned, he is that sahabi whom Rasulullah tells him, Wallah ya Mu'adh, inni la'uhibbuk. Allah's qasam Mu'adh, I love you. Imagine. Now Rasulullah is giving him advice, Mu'adh is listening, and then suddenly, as we see, the bombshell comes. Oh Mu'adh, asa an la talqani ba'd ami hada. Wala'allaka an tamurra bi masjidi wa qabri. Mu'adh, this may be the last time we are meeting. And perhaps we'll come after some time. We'll go pass by my masjid. Those of us who have been to Madinah Sharif, you know, Rasulullah's masjid. And immediately after that, the house of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. That is where Rasulullah is buried. So he said, you pass by my masjid and my qabr. Can you imagine what happened? Hadith says, فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعًا. He began to cry profusely. He couldn't hold it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees Mu'adh cry. He was Rahmatul Alameen. Rasulullah could not see Mu'adh cry. So he turns his face away. Exactly that, Mu'adh bin Jabal goes to Yemen. And after a year or two, or after a year, he sees the dream. In Sifatul Safwa, it is mentioned, he sees the dream. It's a lengthy incident, and then he comes back. By the time Rasulullah had already left this world. Sahaba could not understand, they could not really want to experience that I must leave my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a life it would be. Day and night we with him. That is why when he passed on, Rasulullah left this world, people like Uthmani Ghani radiallahu anhu could not speak, he just became silent. Ali radiallahu anhu sat down. Umar radiallahu anhu for a few moments, he lost himself. Drew his sword out. Couldn't understand. He knew that Rasulullah has to leave this world. But when that shocked him, couldn't understand. Who said that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away? He could not understand it. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was so fortunate When Rasulullah made hijrat, came from Makkah to Medina, every Ansari wished that Rasulullah must stay by his home. They actually were not putting the camera. Rasulullah said, "Ah, daha fa inna ma'mura, leave it. She's commanded by Allah. She'll sit down and we will know which house to go." So it goes, stops, stands up, goes front, comes back. And this plot belonged to Sahal and Suhail, to Yatim, radiallahu anhuma. And they purchased the land from the guardian. Rasulullah also paid for it. He paid for this plot of land. And this was where the masjid was built. And just next to it, or opposite, was the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah said, "I will stay here." Can you imagine how elated Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, and his wife became? It was a double-story house, simple. So it was decided Rasulullah would live downstairs and they will go upstairs. The whole night goes by and husband and wife are restless. They cannot sleep. What is going through their mind? As they're walking on top, perhaps Rasulullah at this moment is here beneath us. How could we be sitting on top? How could we be living on top? How could we be sleeping on top? And our Rasulullah below us? Where's the azmat? Where's the respect? The entire night they did not sleep. Next morning, Ya Rasulullah, whole night didn't sleep. What happened? Ya Rasulullah, this is what's happening. We cannot sleep. We cannot be above you. We cannot show disrespect to you. Rasulullah said, "Do not worry, you stay on top." So again, they're on top. And that night, they had a little jug and it slips from their hands. There was water in it. So they were so afraid that the water might seep through some crack or some hole in that wooden floor. So they had only one shawl that they would use to cover themselves, husband and wife. Immediately they began to place that shawl onto that water so that the water does not come through. Ya Rasulullah, it is difficult for us. We do not want to harm you at all. Then Rasulullah agreed. And then he went and lived upstairs and he allowed them to stay downstairs. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would eat any food, they would prepare meals for him, and even other Sahaba would send. Rasulullah, after eating that meal, he would leave a little bit, some of the traces of whatever he ate, and he'd send it for Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife, radiallahu anhu. And they would actually look for where Rasulullah passed his Mubarak fingers on the plate, and they would pass their fingers on the same spot. This was the muhabbat they had. But respected brothers and sisters, the muhabbat was not just by some action of this, in which they displayed some muhabbat and love, or by means of their words. The moment any instruction came from Rasulullah SAW, without any hesitation, without any taraddud, as we say, immediately they would abide by that instruction. If they saw Rasulullah was displeased with any action of this, of theirs, immediately they would make islah. They wouldn't go to this mufti and that hazrat and that alim, and we do fatwa shopping, and we try to look for a fatwa, and Allah forgive us, in these days we find that fatwa to suit our own whims and fancies. Let us be true ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw a sahabi wearing a pure gold ring. For many it is not permissible. Rasulullah removed it from his hand, from his finger, and threw it down. And then Rasulullah proceeded. Somebody told him, "Okay, you can pick it up. Fantafi' bihi. Use it for some other purpose. You can melt it or you can give it, do it, do something else with it. You don't have to make it, keep it as a ring." He said, "How can I pick up that ring which my beloved Rasulullah threw? He removed it from my finger, he threw it down. Must I go and pick up that ring when he was displeased?" He left that ring. Ulama explained, he left it for some other person, a poor person who may use it for some other purpose and he may take it, but he had nothing to do with the ring now. No matter how precious it may have been. Rasulullah SAW goes with Sahaba, they are passing by, he sees a home with a dome-like structure, a roof with a dome-like structure. Whose house is this? Sahaba said, this particular Sahabi. From the face they could make out Rasulullah was not too happy. That he built a very huge structure as a roof for his home. There was no need for it. This was tantamount to extravagance, israf. And Rasulullah went by. Sahaba went, "Rasulullah came past by your house. He didn't seem too happy." My respected brothers and sisters, that Sahabi didn't waste any time to go to Rasulullah SAW to ask him, Ya Rasulullah SAW, what is the matter? What's wrong? Why are you not happy? Immediately, he raised it to the ground. He demolished it. Sometime later, Rasulullah goes past. He says, where is that house we had seen here? Sahaba said, that this Sahabi had raised it to the ground. He realized you were not happy. Another Sahabi had very long hair. And his pants was below his ankles. Rasulullah said, such a nice man, wonderful person he is. Besides these two qualities, his hair is too long and his pants is below his ankles. When that Sahabi hears, immediately he takes his scissors, he cuts his pants till half his shirt. And he cut his hair and made it like the Zulfa of Rasulullah SAW. There are thousands of examples like this. Thousands of examples of the muhabbat of Rasulullah SAW the Sahaba had. The azmat they had for Rasulullah SAW. The iman they had in Rasulullah SAW. The ittiba of Rasulullah SAW. Following Rasulullah SAW. Following different, every single sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala is invited for a dawat in which so many high profile, prominent people at that time. Different rulers, emperors. He was invited. He goes, simple sahabi. Goes with his khadim, or a friend of his, and he's eating so simply, and one morsel falls off his mouth, so he picks it, dusts it, and places it in his mouth. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. So he's nudged by his companion. He says, don't you see all these people are staring at you? Then how could you do such a thing? Just leave it aside. Why are you picking up this one morsel of food? So embarrassing for us now. Look at all these people looking and staring at us. What was his response? أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاوْلَاءِ الْهُمَقَى Shall I abandon the sunnah of my Rasulullah SAW for these foolish people? For these foolish people who have no azmat for Rasulullah SAW's sunnah? They have no love for Rasulullah SAW. If they had true love, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ If they had true love for Allah, then they would follow my way of life. They claim they love Allah and Rasulullah SAW. But they're staring upon this action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved friends and elders, we have heard so many times, akmal, ajmal, ashal tariqa was that of Rasulullah. The most beautiful way of life. The most perfect. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Allah has mentioned, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily you guide towards siratul mustaqim. And all of us are making dua, Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, show us the right path, guide us on the right path. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your path is sirat al-mustaqim. So if all of us want sirat al-mustaqim, then this is the only path that we should follow, and that is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala. Enemies have captured him, about to kill him. Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim at that time. He has him on the ground. He says, Zayd, tell me, how would you feel right now? Or should it not please you right now? Won't you love that in your place we put your prophet, your messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you could be safe and sound in comfort with your family, your wife and children, and he should be in your place? Zayd bin Dathina radan says, Wallah, I cannot tolerate even a little thorn, tiny thorn, pricking the body of my Rasulullah SAW. What you are talking about, him being in my place, about to be executioned. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, battle of Uhud is taking place. He sees Rasulullah standing up to see what is happening on the battlefield. He says, Ya Rasulullah, nahri dun nahrik. Ya Rasulullah, do not peep over there. Allah, you come, Ya Rasul, come behind me. I will defend you. I will become your shield. I will place my neck in front of your neck. Let the arrows strike me, but you must be protected. Talha radiallahu ta'ala, as the arrows are coming, he would raise his hand and he would save the face of Rasulullah sallam. He would save the body of Rasulullah sallam. His hand actually became paralyzed. Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala, sahaba say that when they saw his back, arrows were stuck on his back after the battle of Uhud. All in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the helmet, the rings of the helmet penetrate his Mubarak cheeks. The teeth are shattered of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is bleeding profusely. What does Rasul do? He wipes out quickly the blood that has come onto his Mubarak face, saving it from falling onto the ground. He says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, this is my nation. Ya Allah, forgive them. Ya Allah, forgive my qawm. Innahum la ya'lamun. They do not know what they're doing. Referring to the Quraysh. If the blood of Rasul fell onto the ground, Allah's azab would have come. Rasulullah is going through all this. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu sees that Rasulullah is now suffering because the rings of the helmet have pierced his Mubarak cheeks. The face of Rasulullah was so bright, respected brothers and elders. Sahaba write, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي فِي وَجْهِ. When they would describe Rasulullah, it was as though the sun was rising. That was the noor on the face of Rasulullah. Or sometimes they would say, the 14 full moon. Jabir bin Samurah's famous narration. He says, it was 14 full moon night, and I saw Rasulullah sitting there, I saw the full moon, I was admiring the full moon, the beauty of the full moon, and suddenly my gaze fell on Rasulullah. I looked again at the full moon, again at the face of Rasulullah. I came to the firm conclusion that my Nabi's face outshined the brilliance of the 14 full moon. Noor would permeate from between his teeth. His hands, Anas Rasulullah says, Ma masistu dibajan wala hariran alyana min kafi Rasulullah sallam. I have never felt any silk fabric or anything more softer than silk than the palms of Rasulullah sallam. Fragrance of musk emanating from his body. In the tafsir of washamsi of wadduha, walayli idha saja, ulama have even gone to explain about the beautiful face of Rasulullah and the beautiful zulfa of Rasulullah sallam. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, what does she say? She had borrowed a needle from one of the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was dark at night. There was no candle at home. There was no light at home. She lost the needle. She had to return the needle. She's busy searching for it in darkness. And suddenly the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam appears. As he enters the home, the light, the radiance that shines, immediately she finds the little needle. And what is she should say? You know, we have a son and the people have a son. The son of the people rises during the day in the morning. But my son rises at night. When everything is dark, when Rasulullah would come, everything would become bright. So this helmet, the rings are now pierced. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah goes forward. In some kitab I read, Abu Bakr Siddiq was also going forward. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah makes ishara to him, looks at to him. In other words, Abu Bakr, give me this chance. Let me go and remove it. So he goes forward. He does not remove it with his hands. He removes it with his teeth. Very gently, he begins to pull out the rings of the helmet that had stuck into the cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he had to pull it with his hand, he would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did it with his teeth. In the process, he also lost many of his front teeth. Many of his front teeth he also lost. My respected brothers and elders, as I mentioned, it is impossible. Kehne wala keh keh kar thak jayega. People listen, sit, and they will get tired. Scholars have written that the ink has gone dry. Volumes have been written, still we can never do justice to the seerah of Rasulullah. Again, I will reemphasize that Rasulullah has to be part of our life. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has mentioned in his Bukhari Sharif, the hadith of Rasulullah. One is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and the same hadith by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, in the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and of course, the chapter that Imam Bukhari has mentioned, Babu Hubbi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al iman. Loving Rasulullah is part of iman. And he's got the famous hadith, in the first narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sallam takes a qasam, qasam in Allah. That لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ولده. And the narration of Anas رضي الله عنه, Nabi said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ولده والناس أجمعين. That none of you has complete iman, none of you has perfect iman, until I become more dearer to him than his own parents, his own children, and the entire mankind. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasul, I love you more than my father, my mother, my family, my children, the entire mankind, but myself." The Prophet said, "No good." Immediately says, "Ya Rasul, I love you even more than myself." Al-an Umar, now Umar, now you've got it right. So with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the azmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, أنا سيد ولد آدم يوم القيامة, Rasul says, "I will be the leader of the entire mankind." The first person to be raised from the qabr will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أول من تنشق عنه الأرض. وأول شافع وأول مشفع. The first person to intercede on behalf of the ummah will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first person whose intercession will be accepted is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنا خاتم الأنبياء. I am the seal of prophets. Every Nabi will be under my flag. بيدي لواء الحمد. I'll have the flag of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A special blessing. Wa Adam, and Adam alayhi salatu salam will also be under me. Rasulullah says, I'm not saying out of pride. Once when he entered the masjid, he heard the sahaba discussing. He says, Sam'atu kalamakum wa ajabakum. I heard your speech, what you were talking about. Somebody said, you know, Isa alayhi salatu salam, kalimatullah. Somebody said Musa, Kareemullah. Somebody said Ibrahim, Khalilullah. Each person was talking about different Anbiya. And he is greater, he is greater. He had this quality, he had this quality. Nabi said, yes, whatever you said is correct. Musa was Kareemullah. Isa was Ruhullah. Ibrahim was Khalilullah. But I, wa ana Habibullah. I am Habibullah. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, wa ma dhukirtu illa dhukirta ma'i. جب جب بھی میرا ذکر آئے گا تیرا ذکر ساتھ آئے گا. اشہدو ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہدو ان محمد رسول اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ. So with the عظمت of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the love of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the main lesson we get together with all this, loving رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم more than the entire mankind, more than our parents and our children, our wives and our friends, the effort that we have to make on our side is to bring the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah in our life, the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah, the beautiful way of life, his sunnat, how he spoke, how he ate, how he dealt with people, his interaction, social interaction, his monetary dealings, how he dealt with his wives, how he dealt with his children, how he dealt with his grandchildren, how he dealt with the people, how he dealt with prisoners, how he dealt with the musallis, how he dealt with people who would come in delegations, how he dealt with other rulers. Every single person, whether he was poor, whether he was rich, had an interaction. Any person connected to Rasulullah ﷺ received honor. Ahl al-Bayt, why do we honor the family of Rasulullah? Because they connected to him. His wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they become mothers of the believers. Azwaj Mutahharat, the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not permissible for anybody to marry them after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They become the mothers of the believers. You cannot marry your mother. Allah gave them that honor. Why? Connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatima, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, Zainab radiyallahu anhunna. The children of Rasulullah, grandchildren, all got their respect, the sharaf, the honor, because they connected to Rasulullah. Hamza, Asadullah, wa Asadu Rasuli, Hassan, Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Ahl Jannah, Abu Bakr Umar, they are the father-in-laws of Rasulullah, Sayyida Kuhuri Ahl Jannah, Uthman and Ali, son-in-laws of Rasulullah, great blessing they also receive. The place where the sand that is touching the body of Rasulullah, ulama have written, the soil that is touching the body, the jism mubarak of Rasulullah is greater not only than the Kaaba, but the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? It is muttasil, it's connected to Rasulullah. And that masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see al-masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has got its blessings. The reward of reading salat there is increased more than any other masjid besides Makkah, Masjid al-Haram. Why? Because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His family, his tribe, even his era, the time in which Rasulullah came, Khairul Quruni Qarni. The best of times are the times in which I am present. We are the ummatis of Rasulullah. We got our honor. Why? Why? Because of Rasulullah SAW. Innal jannata hurrimat ala al-anbiya'i kulliha hatta adkhulaha wa inna al-hurrimat ala al-umami kulliha hatta tadkhulaha ummati. Rasulullah SAW says that jannat is haram for any nabi to enter until I enter jannat. And no ummat can enter jannah until my ummat enters jannat first. Let us make the firm intention that not only one day in the year now we will talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. This has become a custom. Really has become a custom. Every single day, read the books of Sirah. Start. The authentic books, find out from the ulama, the scholars, plenty. In English also. And see how Rasulullah dealt with people. Look at the lessons of Sirah. So I can also bring this in my life. How Rasulullah forgave in Fatih Makkah. Where it was a day where he could take revenge. On that day, everybody was waiting. What announcement Rasulullah will make? Is he going to now take revenge? Is he going to kill us? Is he going to massacre us? No. Rasulullah said, I've forgiven every one of you. Like how Yusuf alayhi salam forgave his brothers. In Taif, when he's bleeding, it's so easy for us to mention this. Feet is clogged with blood, and Rasulullah falls unconscious. And then the angel comes, and he says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Ya Rasulullah, if you wish, I would trap this entire, or crush the people of Taif between the two mountains. He says, no. I have got umid, I've got high hopes and desire that from their progeny there'll be people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. They won't make any shirk. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, who to bring in us the sunnah of Muslim. One sunnah is make an effort. Naqshi qadam nabi ki hai. Sunnat ka raaste. Allah se milate hai. Naqshi qadam nabi ki hai. Jannat ka raasta. Allah se milate hai. Sunnat ka raasta. The way of life of Rasulullah, the footsteps, that is the way of life that leads us into Jannat. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Inshallah, we just read durood and salam and we make a short dua, inshallah. If you're going to go home now, just now it's time for Isha again. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to follow Rasulullah. There are people in this ummah who are enemies of Allah and Rasulullah, enemies of the believers. What is the whole plan? In a very subtle manner. And especially through the social media. They are actually corrupting the brains of our young ones and of all of us in different ways. The way of life of sunnah is now regarded and believed as to be old-fashioned. If you look at our youth, Allah forgive us, Allah forgive them. May Allah guide them, may Allah guide us. They are our roses, our flowers, our blood. But how often we see sometime a youngster, good boy, put the hair on his head, a very punky style hairstyle. The clothing he wears, it's difficult to even say that he comes from a good home. We have all these branded names. All the time, our shopping, our eating, our dressing, our fashion, everything is coming, slowly but surely, taking us away from the simplicity of Rasulullah ﷺ, from the sunnah way of Rasulullah ﷺ. We will look for all those excuses now to make halal and to kosher those things and that way of life that appeases us. But sunnah, now that's for you all. Mama, buzrugs, that's for you all. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As I said, we should not despise, look down upon any person. Look at our own lives. If Rasulullah had to enter today, if he had to sit with us and ask us, boy, how much of my way of life have you got in your life? What answer would we give? One is the outward sunnah, and one is the inward sunnah, our akhlaq. And our akhlaq requires a lot of effort. Great room for improvement. I myself, I fail terribly in this. Our tolerance, our behavior. And in this ummah today we find people amidst us who have such jealousy, just such malice in their heart. Whether it's a business partner, whether it's somebody in the business or economic field, whatever it is, sometimes a boy gets married to a girl, somebody else is so jealous they cannot see him or see that man prospering. Then they will go to such things that would actually make sihar and jadu on those people. So many, so common today. They will live this bitter life of bitterness, not seeing the progress of their own family, their own friends, their own musallis, their own ulama, their own scholars. It's so much of hatred. This is not the heart of Rasulullah. This is not what he taught us. So we make mistakes, tawbah istighfar. And we should polish and cleanse our hearts. To love Allah and Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we love the most. Immediately after that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us true muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and help us to emulate the beautiful life of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read the Rulun Salaam inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزل المقدر المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرية وآل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصلي على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات صلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات صلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات لله صلوات لله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا الله ما لقناكم ما عفرما، يا الله ما لخطاكم ما عفرما، إلا في الوحات جوا عشق المحبة، إن عشق المحبة في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله help us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله every brother who has come here tonight my Allah, and every single sister and mother listening to the program my Allah, Ya Allah grant them the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of Qiyamah, them and their entire families, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't deprive any one of us, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't deprive us of the Hawdi Kuthur water from the beloved hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, bless all of us with afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukun, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, my Allah. Ya Allah, our family members, Ya Allah, our friends, Ya Allah, our musallis, Ya Allah. Whatever problems they have, Ya Allah, whatever sicknesses they have, remove those sicknesses, my Allah. Grant them complete shifa, my Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumeen, give them jannatul firdaus and the family sabri jameel, Ya Allah. Give us a good maut, my Allah. Give us maut in Madina Sharif. Bury jannatul baqi, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Qiyamah. The Hudi Kuthu from his Mubarak hands, Ya Allah, make us enter jannat without any sahab kitab. Protect all of us, especially our families, Ya Allah, our parents, our grandparents, our wives, our children, our progeny. Ya Allah, protect us from the azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, accept our sitting here, Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas and maqbooliyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Help the ummah of Nabiya Kareem, protect the ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's very important when Azan is called out, we should give jawab to the Azan. Whatever the Muazzin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, silently we say the same thing. After Azan, the correct way is to recite Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then the dua after Azan. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. Whoever reads this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my intercession on the day of Qiyamah becomes compulsory for such a person. So inshallah, let us make it our habit, our practice when we're in the masjid especially, or even if we're coming away at home, when Azan is called out, let us be silent and give jawab to the Azan, and then the Durood Sharif, and then the dua after Azan.